someday. Hebrews chapter 12, we think about, it's all about Jesus. It's on page 1107 in your pew Bible if you would like to follow along with me this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Therefore, since we also have such a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For we consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Praise God for that. Would you join me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for all our sins are forgiven through your blood. Thank you for enduring the shame, for being despised, Lord, for all that you did for us. And so, Father, we put it all in you today. May we gain insight from your word, may we be challenged, and may we live it out for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When I think about it, it's all about Jesus, I come up with my sermon title, and so I give that to Beth, and she starts typing, and she says, you know, you've used this title before. I said, yeah, I've used it, I think, about 5 or 6 times. It's all about Jesus, but it's a different scripture every time, and it's a different message, but this message is still the same, because it's all about Jesus. I hope that's in my life, and I hope to convey it to you to be part of your life. You know, there's times when we kind of get caught up in some fad that goes around, and our life revolves around maybe an object, or maybe our life revolves around a person. It could be a video game, and that's all we want to do is just wiggle those thumbs or whatever you do for video games. And it's possible it could even be your life is wrapped up in your phone. There's people that have a permanent attachment, and they just can't seem to get away from it. You know, maybe we get attached, obsessed in a relationship, or maybe it's a possession that we have that we just can't let go of. If we're not careful, that obsession can actually wind up defining who we are, or maybe it can define what we are. And so when people talk about us, they can't talk about us without mentioning whatever it is that we're involved in. Well, there's no doubt we all maybe have bucket lists. I know I have I call it a bucket list. There's places I want to go before I kick the bucket. And there's things I want to do that I haven't been able to do yet. Now, some of those things, it's too late for. You know, I've had some goals of climbing some mountains, and I think some of those mountains have out-climbed me. But there's things that maybe I want to own, that I want to do things. But above all, when I think about who I am and what people say about me and whatever it might be, I want people to say that, hey, whatever it is, it was all about Jesus in his life. That would be the defining comment about my life when it comes down to the wire, that it was all about Jesus. And so as I look to the scripture this morning here in Hebrews chapter 12, that's what I come up with. It's all about Jesus. And so there's some things I want to share. If you have your bulletin, you can flip it over, and that way you can keep up and you know when I'm about finished or maybe just getting started. And but 4 things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, I want my endurance to reflect Jesus. I want my endurance to reflect Jesus. You know, we all, I assume, know people, or maybe we have people that we kind of put up on a pedestal or maybe people that we admire, or maybe even people that we're jealous of. And we all have that. Well, this week, one of a person that I have admired and respected had to resign his position. He was been a man of God for years, and he had to resign his position this week because of a moral failure. He couldn't endure the race. He's married, has a lovely wife, has kids, has church, has support, everything else. But somehow in the midst of that, he just couldn't stay away from this. And he crashed. And when he crashed, he went up burning. And it's just a horrible thing. I want to run the race with endurance. You see, there's a command we find here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights and the sin that easily ensnares us and run with endurance." I want to go all the way for Jesus. One of the best books I've read is called Finishing Strong. And it just talks about when you've entered this race to finish strong, to keep up that commitment that we have, whether it be to our family, to our church, especially our commitment that we have to God, and just run it. And so I want my endurance to reflect Jesus, running the race with endurance. Not only are we commanded to run with endurance, what we find here in verse 1, but also in verse 2, we find an example of endurance. If we're looking at verse 2, "Keep our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross." Sometimes, some of us are known as quitters. I don't know if it's in the middle of a Monopoly game and you're getting beat awful bad, and so you just want to throw in the cards, or maybe it's in a dice game, or maybe it's in a career, or whatever it might be. We just want to quit. But Jesus was our example of enduring the race all the way to the end. Verse 2, he endured the cross. Now, I don't know about you, but as we think about Resurrection Day, it would be hard to have a resurrection if there wasn't a Good Friday when Jesus died. And so it just kind of reminds me about pain. Sometimes we think we're pretty high tolerant of pain. One time I took the young people out to a paintball place. And so you put on the hat and you put on the chest thing and you get your gun and you go out and you hide and you shoot people. And it's fun. I had a great time until I turned my head and one of the kids shot me right there. Now, I'm kind of a patient guy. I kind of have a high tolerance for pain. But something happened to me when I got shot there. And I turned into a whole different person. I would be ashamed to tell you all that I did to this kid who shot me right there. Often, I have to stop and thank God that I'm not God. Because if I had the ability to do what God could do, you know, I'd be ashamed to tell you what I would do. And so I think about Jesus hanging on the cross. And these people that nailed nails into his hand, now that's probably going to hurt as much as a paintball in the head. And he endured it. And I think about the crown of thorns that he had on his head. And I think about the spikes in his feet. And I think about him hanging up there. And then people coming by, spitting on him and making fun of him. And I'm just thinking that I'm a sinful man. And if I was God and you did that to me, I wouldn't stay on the cross very long. Someone else would be up there. But we have that endurance example in Jesus who endured the cross for us. I'm just kind of impressed with that thought. And so when I think about I want to run, or I want my endurance to reflect Jesus, you know, we have the command, run the race with endurance. We have an example of Jesus enduring the cross. But I want to say there's also rewards. There's also rewards for endurance. If we can flip back just a few pages, if you're using the Pew Bible, page 1096, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some of my favorite scriptures I use quite often in this 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Paul, the apostle Paul, is there and he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. I have fought the good fight." That, you know, we can identify there, enduring it all the way. "I have finished the race." I don't know if you've ever been in track and running the race and you realize, wow, I'm just getting beat here. I might as well quit now. No, we endured all the way. He says, "I have finished the race." And then he says, "I have kept the faith all the way." And then he says, "There is reserved for me in the future a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." And so there's a reward for those who endure to the end, that Jesus himself is going to come down there, and somehow, some way, I don't know how, but he's going to reach over, he's going to take this crown of righteousness. I don't know what that is, but Jesus is going to lay it on my head. And I just hear him say, "Alan, you endured to the end. And so I want my endurance, not to quit somewhere and not to do anything else. I want that endurance to reflect Jesus, because it's all about him." And so as I think about that, reflecting Jesus. The second thing that I look at here in Hebrews chapter 12 is I want my sacrifices to reflect Jesus. I want the sacrifices that I made. Now, I started thinking about, you know, how much have I sacrificed? Well, you know, if you've done much traveling around the world and you live in San Diego, you realize I haven't sacrificed anything for him. But he does give us some instructions, I think, on our sacrifices that reflect Jesus. The first thing I notice here, he says, to lay aside every weight that ensnares us. So what kind of weight can ensnare us? And so my only thing that I thought about when I saw that the weight that's going to ensnare us can be what we could call materialism. I want more. And we're not satisfied until we get more. I don't know if you've been to an ice cream parlor with kids, but they, "Can I have more?" This morning we had our 7 o'clock sunrise services, and afterwards we had some Krispy Kreme donuts. And I heard people say, "Can I have more?" You know, we're just not satisfied. And sometimes we look around and maybe we need more stuff. That's hard to imagine when our garages are full. Some of us may even have a storage unit someplace full of stuff, but we just, a little bit more. I asked someone one time, well, when is enough enough? Not till the game's over. We just want more. And so there is a snare of materialism that entangles us when we're running. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that might be, but as I think about it, we have to be careful. Things that are going to ensnare us that we just can't get rid of. He goes on in this verse, "Let us lay aside everything that ensnares us." And he talks about, "Let us lay aside every sin that traps us." I like to say, I'm ashamed to say, but I like to say that sin is addictive. It seems like the more we sin, the more we want to sin. And we just keep on going in our sinful life. And so we have to be careful with that sin that traps us. And what is that sin? Well, I'm not going to get into individual things, but I want to say that sin usually comes down to bad habits. things that just kind of get a hold of us and we can't get rid of. You know, it could be language, it could be what we take into our body, it could be attitudes that we have or whatever, but we get wrapped up in the sin. And he says, hey, lay aside that sin. Lay aside that whatever weight that ensnares us. And we lay aside. When I think about that, I go back 50 years ago when I was in high school and about 100 pounds lighter. And I'd be on the track team. There's a couple things we used to do before the track meet. Number one is we put on sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and that way we look big and tough when we're going to get out there competing with these guys, and then we take it off and we find out we're all skinny. Well, I never was that way, but some of them were skinny. And so when we're going to run this race of endurance, we have to take off those extra clothing, the things that are going to ensnare us. What I used to like to do, because it gave me a good excuse to run slow, is I put weights on my ankles. And that way people thought, well, man, look how slow he is. Well, I got these extra weights here. And so I would do that on purpose. And so when we're going to run that race, when we're going to make a sacrifice, we have to sacrifice the extra clothing. We have to sacrifice the extra weight. We have to get rid of these things that are going to distract us, whatever that may be. We have to get rid of the bad habits that are going to bring us down. We have to get rid of the sin that ensnares us, materialism, whatever. And so he's saying, hey, let's run this race. And so when I think about Jesus, I want my endurance to reflect Jesus. I want my sacrifices to reflect Jesus. You know, see, it's all for Jesus. I recall what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. As he's calling his disciples, he says in Luke 9, 23, that if any man come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Three things. I'd say three simple things, but the truth is they're not simple. To deny ourselves, meaning I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put others above me, and then me last. Denying myself. I'm going to take up my cross daily. Sometimes we want to take up that cross one time. I ask people, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I prayed, invited Jesus in my heart when I was 9 years old, got baptized in the church. What are you doing now? Well, I'm doing my own thing right now. No. Denying ourselves, taking up that cross is a daily thing for Jesus. It's not something a long time ago, but what are you doing right now? And then he goes on and says, and follow me. Who or what are we following? And so as I think about it, it's all for Jesus. We just want to think about our life, our desires, our will, our everything is for him. I'm looking to Hebrews chapter 12 again. I want my endurance to reflect Jesus. I want my sacrifices to reflect Jesus. I want my observers to see Jesus. I want my observers to see Jesus. He says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud or a large cloud of witnesses, we are all surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Now, what are those witnesses? Well, some people, if you study this out, we might say, well, these witnesses that are looking down upon us are angels who are watching us, observing us. And I don't know what the purpose of that would be, but there could be some validity that the angels are watching over us, whether you may think they're guardian angels or whatever they might be. Sometimes those angels are looking out over us. I know there have been times in my life when I got myself in deep trouble, and it's God had to spare me, and you wonder if it was an angel or whatever. But, you know, who are those? Well, the cloud of witnesses, to some degree, could be saints who have gone on before us, those who have paid the price, and they look down upon us, and they think about what they endured. I love reading Hebrews. It talks about how our forefathers were thrown into dens, arenas, and they turned the wild dogs loose on them. They turned the lions loose on them. They did all kinds of things. The early Christians going through their persecution in Hebrews chapter 11, they endured all of that. And I look at how easy we have it today. But, you know, we have these witnesses. Maybe the cloud of witnesses is God himself who's looking down upon us. I was talking to someone this week. It seems like I don't know about you guys, but preachers like to talk about other preachers. You know, you guys do that sometimes. But so we're talking about this person that I know of who had this moral failure this last week and had to resign. And so I said, listen, I remind myself daily that what I do is going to affect the relationship I have with my wife. What I do is going to affect the relationship I have with my two sons. I don't want to disappoint them. What I do is going to affect how my grandchildren look up to their Papa Buster. And I don't want to be that bad example to them. And as I think about it, I told this person, I said, when I think about that, not only what I do affects my family and everyone I'm there, but what I do will affect my church that I have. What would you think about me if I did something like that? And as I think about that, not only that, but I think about what about the churches that I have pastored in the past, and I've got thousands of people across the United States who have looked up to me. What would they think about me with failure? And then I said, wait a minute. Maybe it doesn't matter at all what they think about. What would God think about me if I did that? And so somehow, some way, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, whether they be angels, whether they be saints, or whether it be God, or maybe it's the people right here who are constantly looking at us, looking for something to point their finger at. I don't want to turn people off to Jesus. I want to point people to Jesus, that it's all about Him. Not just for show, because God sees the hearts. I want to give it all to Jesus. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we give, everything we think needs to reflect about Jesus. It's all about Him. And so when I think about Resurrection Day, as we come together to celebrate what God has done for us, I just want to say it's all about Jesus. And I hope that our endurance can reflect Jesus. I hope that our sacrifices that we make can reflect Jesus. I hope that the observers around us can see Jesus. But I also want to say that I want my beliefs to reflect Jesus. Our beliefs. You see, what we believe will affect how we behave. And if we've got false beliefs out there, it's going to affect how we believe. So we have to get down to the truth. Who is Jesus? And so, who is He? Well, we find here, He is the Son of God. In fact, if we continue going back to what Scott read earlier in the book of Colossians, that He is God, the fullness of God dwelled within Him. But you know, when we think about who Jesus is, we can say He's the Son of God, we can say He is God. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him. Now, to be honest, and most of you are aware of this, there's a lot of churches, a lot of beliefs out there that don't want to admit there's only one way. This morning, I got up early so I could have the church ready. I went down to Krispy Kreme early to get everything ready. And as I'm driving across Claremont Mesa Boulevard, I noticed that the Buddhists were up before me. They don't believe in the resurrection. What are they doing? I have no clue. I'm going to try to find out, you know, what they're doing so early in the morning. But I just think that there's a lot of people that get angry when we tell them there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not being a Baptist. It's not being part of my church. You know, there's times I wish it were, but it's not. It's only through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes in the Father except by me. So I want to have the right beliefs. There's only one road that gets you there. You used to say all roads lead to Rome and all roads lead us to heaven. No, there's only one road, and that's the straight and narrow path. And few there are that find it. Our beliefs need to reflect Jesus. What did Jesus do? He died on the cross. Literally, he was dead on the cross. They buried him, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead for our justifications. He did that for us, demonstrating that he loves us. I want to have the right beliefs. Who is Jesus? What did he do? Where is he? Well, the Bible says here, we just read it in verse 2, that he's at the right hand of the Father, and that is true. But I also want to say that he's right here with us today. He's sitting right next to you today. He's right in front of you today. He's right behind you today. He's right here in this very room. But you know what's, I think, extremely important? And that is that Jesus is right here. Now, we talk about inviting him into our heart. I know the heart is just an organ that pumps the blood. So it's kind of a word that we don't use correctly. But he's in my life. There came a time in my life when I was stopped what I was doing, and I intentionally prayed, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my life, be the Lord of my life, and make me the kind of person you want me to be. It didn't just happen accidentally. It's not something that my parents did for me, but it's something I had to do for myself. And that's what I'm telling you today, you have to do. Where is Jesus? He wants to be in your life, we'll say in your heart. He wants to be there with you, but it has to be an invitation from you. Lord, would you come in to my life? And you can do that today. You can do that right where you are. You can do it while you're sitting here. You can do it when we offer an invitation a little bit. You can talk to myself. You can talk to Pastor Kevin. You can talk to Pastor Phil. Whatever it might be, talk to someone. Whatever it might be, God is right there, and he wants to come into you. I want to have those right beliefs. Why did he do it? He did it because he loves us. And last thing, when I think about all that Jesus has done, it's all about him. You know, I want my endurance to reflect Jesus. I want my sacrifices to reflect Jesus. I want my observers to see Jesus. And I want my beliefs to reflect Jesus. But I want my life to reflect Jesus. One of my favorite songs growing up, and still one of my favorite. I can't say it's the favorite, because I really like that, All My Hope's in Jesus. And I'll work on the beard later. But one of my favorite songs, a song we used to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. Giving it all to him, because it's all about Jesus. I want to surrender. I want it to be about him. I want to be what God wants me to be, whatever that may be. I want to do what God wants me to do, because it's all about him. I want to go where God wants me to go, because it's all about him. I want to give what God wants me to give, because it's all about him. And I want to do it when God wants me to, because it's all about him. I hope that can be the reflection in my life, that it's all about Jesus. What about you today? What are you reflecting? Why not make that commitment to reflect Jesus? Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your holy word, for this holy holiday as we celebrate the resurrection. God, we just want to say that we love you. We love you more than life itself, and our desire is for your will to be done. And so, Lord, may it begin with that commitment to forgive us of our sins and come into our life, and may it extend that we kind of live it all for you and reflect you in everything that we do. So, Father, I thank you for each one of those people that are here today. May they hear the message from your holy word today, and may your Holy Spirit germinate that seed and let it grow till we become more like you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.